This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We're back live with more Anthony Herron on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
We are at that time of the year, getting into the latter stages of February. Not only here in Chicago, where the weather can be a bit frigid, but before too long, we'll have all these NFL draft prospects tearing up the turf, heating things up in Indy. NFL Combine will be upon us next week. We're going to talk some football. Hour number two here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. As the big voice guy told you, I am Anthony Herron. A couple hours to go this evening. And with the way that the things tend to go in this part of the offseason calendar, you got players who are scattered all around the nation doing their thing. Some of them will stay at their respective universities and train there in preparation. But because you essentially have a track meet, and especially for the guys who are fresh off of a season with the college football calendar pushing deeper and deeper into January, and guys are beat up and banged up, and now you got this opportunity to try and get your pro game on. You want to have your best foot forward in being evaluated for the National Football League. So to get a sense for how that all shakes out and to get a little bit into the mock draft that was put out there, let's go out to the Circa Sports Illinois hotline with Chad Ryder of NFL Media. You can download the Circa Sports app today. Chad, how are you this evening?
I'm doing great, Anthony. Thanks for having me on.
I really appreciate you taking the time to join me. You can follow Chad on social media at Chad_Ryder, R-E-U-T-E-R. Well, your mock draft, at least the most recent one from last week at NFL Media, is really intriguing one because especially here early, of course, things will continue to evolve as we get more time in, you know, the combine, more of these interviews are taking place and players are moving up and down draft boards and whatnot. But where you have in the first round with the Bears picking 10th, one thing that surprises me right off the bat is the notion that the way you have it with your mock, the Bears will have their pick of the litter at offensive tackle. We know such a storyline for the Bears needing to improve on the offensive line. Braxton Jones's injury at left tackle. He started a bunch of games for him in recent years. Does surprise me a bit that the Bears, in your mock, the first team taking an offensive tackle off the board. Why is that the case?
Well, excuse me. Partially because I think there are, well, at least two quarterbacks have to go in the top 10. Cameron Ward and Shedeur Sanders are very likely to go in the top 10. And then you've got Travis Hunter and Abdul Carter, two defenders who will be the top two guys picked after, you know, with those quarterbacks. So that's the top of the draft. And then you've got teams that are looking at defensive tackles like Mason Graham from Michigan, Walter Nolan from Ole Miss. You got Tyler Warren from Penn State, who's a great fit with the Saints, maybe the Jets. And Ashton Gentry from Boise State, look, he's going to be running back who's going to be valued just like Bijan Robinson was in the top 10 last year. So there's a lot of talent there. And it's possible that the Jets maybe decide to go tackle, but they picked Olufoshano last year early in the draft, and teams typically don't use back-to-back high picks like that on tackles. So, you know, the Bears may be in a good spot at 10 with all this other talent, you know, going in front of them. I'm not sure Will Campbell is considered a Joe Thomas or a, you know, an elite player. But he's going to be a really good, you know, starting tackle. So it wouldn't shock me if he's available in that, you know, 8 to 11 range.
That would be a really strong position for the Bears to be in if they can do that. If they can just have their pick of the available tackles, if things shake out that way. I was wondering if, with a couple of the other teams who might be, you know, in need of offensive line help, if you would see, you know, Campbell and Banks or, you know, whoever, by the time we actually get to April, the guys who end up being perceived as the top tackles available, if you would see multiple of them come off the board and perhaps push some of these top defensive linemen, because the Bears could use help there as well. Yeah. How confident are you that a guy like Mason Graham, Walter Nolan, who in your mock you've got Graham going to the Jets at 7, Walter Nolan out of Ole Miss going to the Panthers at 8, Abdul Carter, he's definitely not getting to the Bears, but do you see a scenario where maybe some of those other interior guys could end up getting pushed down a bit?
Well, it's possible that if, let's say, the Giants don't take a quarterback at 3, they don't take Shedeur Sanders, and they decide to take Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter instead, then the Patriots may end up looking at Will Campbell. So, you know, that might be part of that solution, and the Bears left look. But in terms of defensive tackles, if Campbell goes earlier, I think that pushes Walter Nolan, to the Bears. Mason Graham won't be available. He's the all-around package. He should be gone. If not at, you know, he should be gone by 7. Certainly the Carolina would take him at 8, but I don't anticipate him being available at 10. But Walter Nolan is a really strong player. And when a coach and his coach that coached him at Alabama and Ole Miss likens him to Quinnen Williams, you know, that's a top 10 talent. So I think that's somebody that, if that's who the Bears ended up with, I think they'll be very happy with.
How would you describe the way the quarterback position is viewed right now in this draft cycle? Because it tends to be a scenario where when there's a variety of QBs who folks are really eager to take and folks are wanting to trade up to get into certain positions, then that does push some of the other positional players down and could even enhance the Bears' options at number 10. But it doesn't necessarily sound like, you know, between Ward, Sanders, you know, like Quinn Ewers is a guy who, when he came out in the recruiting space, was viewed as the guy who could be a number one overall pick, and he's not being discussed in that manner right now. But how would you characterize the way the quarterbacks are perceived in this cycle?
It seems to me like there's going to be two in the top 10, Ward and Sanders. And Jackson Dart, Quinn Ewers are going to be in that second round range. I had in my mock draft, I had the Jets going into the bottom of the first round to get Dart, because there's going to be some teams that are going to pass on quarterbacks in the first round. Maybe they bring in a veteran. Maybe they just don't think the value is as good. And there's going to be some competition for those guys in the second round. So it's possible Dart ends up in the bottom of the first, or Ewers maybe. But there's a lot of questions about those guys. And I think there's a pretty big gulf in between those sets of quarterbacks at this point. So barring, you know, a major change in the way that teams view these guys, I think really it's going to be the quarterbacks aren't going to be the main story. I don't anticipate many trades happening. In some years, they just don't happen until like the 10th, 11th, 12th pick. So I think this is probably one of those years.
With your mock in round number 2 of the three-round mock that you did for NFL.com, got an edge out of Marshall going to the Bears with the first of their 2 second-round picks, Mike Green. And, you know, whether it's Mike Green or perhaps someone else, do you see this space in the draft with the depth of edge defenders? Is it right now being perceived as an area where you're getting really good value for a player of that caliber, picking him in the late 30s in round number 2?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a guy. Well, it's interesting class because Mike Green, Jack Sawyer, Tuimolo, all these guys could go from 20 to 45, just depending on how their workouts go, the type of player that a team wants. Somebody who works for the Bills may not, you know, work for the Bears necessarily in their scheme. So there's going to be a lot of them. There could be 10 edge players taken in the top 50 picks. And it's just going to be the flavor that particular teams like. So my next mock draft, you know, I'll change things up. A lot of people put a lot of weight into, oh, you put this guy in the first round or you put him in the second round rather than the first round. He's a first round player. Well, there's no difference in value between a late first round and an early second round player. They're very similarly valued. And so like a guy like Mike Green, I'll probably have, you know, maybe in the late first next time around. And then if the Bears want to, you know, get an edge, they get James Pierce from Tennessee, Jack Sawyer from Ohio State in that conversation. I mean, there's a lot of guys that they could be looking at. There'd be really good value there. So even if some of these teams don't have edge as their greatest need, at some point they have to take one of the top 50 guys. And I think that I try to, when I do mock drafts, I get my top 50 guys. Regardless of team needs, I'll look down for a third or fourth need at some of these teams if the value is really good.
Yeah, Jack Sawyer is a really intriguing prospect. If he would have played his entire, even just his entire senior season, let alone his entire Ohio State career, like he did during the college football playoff, you're talking about a surefire first round pick. He just really put everything together and came into his own during that playoff run. So I like what you're talking about there with, you know, the potential that's there. I mean, that could be really good value. You know, obviously the testing numbers and everything would be a factor.
Yeah.
In that.
I mean, look, Sam Hubbard came out of Ohio State. He ended up a third round pick because he just wasn't as explosive an athlete. And I think that's going to be Sawyer's issue. But you know what you're going to get down after down from him. And I think a team in the second round is going to find good value.
Yeah. And he seems like a guy that'll be a productive pro for a long time. And with the second of the two third round picks or second round picks that the Bears have at number 41, got to take an interior lineman out of Ohio State, Donovan Jackson. Now, what's interesting about Jackson is that he spent the vast majority of his career, came out of high school as an All-American offensive guard, even though he's immensely athletic, always played guard in high school, played guard his entire college career until Ohio State got so banged up this past season that he moves out to left tackle and just kind of figures it out. Now, how does that impact the perception of Donovan Jackson? Is he a guy who folks wonder, can he be a full-time guard now that he got bounced out to tackle, or does that enhance his value as you see it?
Yeah, I don't think he's a tackle. I would be surprised if anybody was, projecting him to make that move. But look, it doesn't hurt that he's A, willing to do it for the team, to give the team the best five guys up front that they can get, and B, that he was serviceable there. I think there are reps that he would like to have back, but again, that's not his natural position. So he gave, you know, really, really good effort. He did what he had to do to make the team win. So I think he's a guard only. But hey, if he's able to go in there and get a few snaps, if a starter's down or something, you know, that just benefits, you know, his stock.
Chad Ryder of NFL Media, my guest here on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. We're going through his three-round mock draft that he put together for NFL.com. And your third-round pick is one that my producer, Alex Kuhn, is very intrigued by because he is one of many people, many fellow Hawkeyes, as I played college football there myself, who have constantly
asked me.
I
knew you liked that pick. Yeah, exactly.
I like it too, Chad.
I keep getting asked about Caleb Johnson. Now I'm getting asked about Caleb Johnson. Should the Bears take him in round two with one of those picks, let alone if he gets to the third round? I don't see him as a second rounder, but in round three, to me, that's where the value for Caleb Johnson starts to feel more enticing.
Yeah, I agree. I think in that system at Iowa and with some really good blocking, he was able to show that burst in the open field. I don't know that he creates enough on his own to be considered as, you know, strong a prospect as Omarion Hampton, you know, coming out of North Carolina, or Quinshon Judkins from Ohio State. maybe even Trevion Henderson out of Ohio State, but I think he's a really solid back. And I think sometimes backs just fall a little bit because of the nature of the position. And there's going to be a ton of very talented fourth and fifth round picks at running back. So unless you're one of the top two or three teams, I think are going to hold off and maybe, you know, address some other positions. And in the second round, and maybe a guy like Johnson is available to them in the third.
And that's where the idea of picking a player like Caleb Johnson, I think, could pair well for the Bears because he's stylistically different. The Bears have DeAndre Swift, and they've got Roshan Johnson and some others also. But we know Swift is very likely to stick with the Bears unless Ben Johnson decides to come in and, you know, clean house, and they'd have to eat a little bit of cap money in doing that. But stylistically, he would give them a different option from the style that they get from DeAndre Swift. Because of the depth of running back in this draft, is a guy like Caleb Johnson, could he potentially fall down even further? Or how does the depth of the class as a whole impact where teams might be willing to take the position?
You know, sometimes we see a group that's really deep, and if there's not a run, say in the second round, and nobody starts the run, then it starts a little bit later than we anticipated. So if some of these running backs don't go earlier, if Henderson from Ohio State, if Junkins from Ohio State don't go until the early third round, then maybe some of these other backs that we thought were going to be third round picks end up fourth round picks. A great example is Ray Davis out of Kentucky last year, who was a phenomenal running back. He ended up in the fourth round. The Bills had to take him because of the value there. They didn't need to use him as much with James Cook this year, but you know, sometimes that happens. But I would be surprised if Johnson lasted outside the third round, but I think he's, the value's too good there. Somebody's got to take him somewhere in round three.
And the line of scrimmage, whether it's O-line or D-line, as you have it mocked for the Bears, they need help on each side of the ball there. Are there any players between the All-Star circuit and now that NFL personnel, the actual coaches, are getting more deeply involved at this point in the calendar in evaluating the college players? Are there either O-linemen or D-linemen that intrigue you with how high they may end up rising? Are there names to be aware of that seem like they're starting to pick up some steam?
Yeah, absolutely. Gray Zabel out of North Dakota State, I had him as a, you know, day two pick, a really solid player. But he went to the Senior Bowl and he played all five positions. He played them all very well. Teams like North Dakota State guys, Cody Mock come out of there, Dylan Radins. I mean, there's, you know, been names, Billy Turner for us, you know, older people that remember Billy. So I think it's really he did a great job at Senior Bowl and he really helped himself. As far as tackles go, I think a guy like Anthony Belton out of North Carolina State is helping himself too. And I honestly just put him in a Chiefs uniform. Like Andy Reid's going to look at him. He's 6'6", 360 pounds. He's like, okay, that's exactly the tackle that I always pick. And that's exactly what I want. And that's, they're going to take him probably in round two. They have a couple picks at the end of round two, beginning of round three. I think he's really helped himself quite a bit. And a couple names to, oh, another guy that hasn't been able to be in the All-Star game circuit, but people are going to hear more and more about, is Charles Durant from William & Mary. Hopefully he'll be able to work out at the combine and show his great athleticism. But he's another versatile guy who played a lot of left tackle, maybe could stick out there. But he could also move into guard, and it's going to be very interesting to see how high he can go as well. It's just a name to watch here in the next couple months.
Yeah, I like the sounds of that, man, no doubt. Chad, this is really informative. I really appreciate it, man. Great info and really fun.
Thanks, Anthony. I really appreciate it.
That is Chad Ryder of NFL Media. You can find him on social media at Chad_Ryder, R-E-U-T-E-R, NFL draft researcher and analyst for NFL Media. You can read all this stuff at NFL.com. We'll continue the NFL draft and combine conversation, and especially because there's an event that's taking place where one combine has actually already been completed. It's down in New Orleans. Steve Weiss of the NFL Network will be with me. We'll talk about some of the broader storylines specific to the Bears, the league as a whole, but also an event that we'll each be covering this Saturday down in New Orleans. Cannot wait to bring Steve Weiss to you next on The Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy!
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 40% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale Last Chance right now and save up to 40% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 40% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Now, we knew the majority of your workout was going to be from the pocket. Just kind of assess how you think things went.
Yeah. I missed a couple passes down the field, deep ball wise, vertical. And then I had, one behind my receiver. Work on those things.
You know that voice. Caleb Williams, Bears quarterback. But at the time, he was not yet the quarterback of your Chicago Bears. He was just an NFL draft hopeful. But we were all fairly confident he was going to go number one overall in the NFL draft. That is precisely where he went. Perhaps a bit prophetic here in Caleb back a year ago, almost a year ago at this time, talking a bit about missing a deep ball because that was a part of the storyline from his rookie season in Chicago. A lot of excitement about what is to come in year two for Caleb with Ben Johnson coming in as the new head coach of your Chicago Bears. I'm Anthony Herron on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Let's go back out to the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com, and have my guy Steve Weiss join us here on The Score. You can find Steve on Twitter at Weiss89. You see him all over the NFL Network. And this weekend, he'll be in New Orleans, where I will be headed as well. He will be a part of the broadcast for the HBCU Legacy Bowl. I want to talk specifically about the Legacy Bowl in a moment. But, Steve, right now, let's start off with some big storylines around the NFL. But first off, man, thanks for taking the time with me.
Oh, yeah, thanks so much for having me, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, no doubt. And the voice of Caleb Williams there as he's preparing to be a rookie and then everything that was kind of, you know, hoisted upon him in taking over things with the Bears as a rookie last season. What do you recall about that pre-draft phase? And none of us knew how, I suppose, discombobulated the rookie season of Caleb would end up becoming with the OC being fired, the head coach being fired in season, all the struggles that befell the team. But as you got to cover Caleb so closely leading into him becoming the number one overall pick, then now having his rookie year in the rearview mirror, what were your impressions of Caleb going into the process, and how did you feel like he handled things just as a rookie in this kind of pressure cooker that is being a Bears QB?
Well, you know, I live in Los Angeles, so I saw him play a lot at USC, and he is an incredible talent who's got everything in front of him if, you know, he can figure it out and if the Bears can figure it out. Because remember, this time last year, we're like, oh, he's going to be number one, and he couldn't be going into a better situation. You know, right. He's going to be, by the time the draft is coming around, you know, they've gotten Keenan Allen. They've made some moves to support him in a lot of different ways. You're like, okay, the team had 7 wins the year before. Like, he wasn't going into a dire situation. And it became dire very quickly. I think in a large part, a lot of us thought, well, if they're going to make so many changes, why didn't they change out the head coach? Because if it doesn't work, he's going to get fired. All the negative things happen, and it played out with just a lot of toxic aura around that football team. And that's the first thing that Ben Johnson has got to clear from that building, right? All the negative thoughts, all the here we go again, all the woe is me, all of the disjointed factions of everything that happened, the coaching staff to the locker room and everything. They've got to pull all that together. And I think that's kind of the new way when these coaching changes are made, owners are trying to get their teams together. Let's get this culture, not so much as a cliche, but as a reality. Let's get our building together first, and then everything will feel a little bit better. And I think there's talent there with the Bears, not as much talent that's needed. But I think Ben Johnson strategically can make people understand why they're doing things on offense. If there's some success early, they'll catch fire. And we know how great of a schemer and everything Ben Johnson is. So he doesn't necessarily have to be that great leader who can stand in front of 53. If offensively he can scheme things up and get people to believe in what he's doing and they have some early success, I think people are like, okay, this is our guy, because look, we're moving the ball. We're scoring touchdowns. We're not putting ourselves behind the sticks. We're not randomly calling plays. There's a purpose to everything. I think that's going to be the start offensively for this team to really get them going in the right direction.
And as you've gotten to see all this success that Ben Johnson was a part of in Detroit with, you know, what really became the best offense in football over the last couple of seasons here, what have been the conversations that you've had with people about the guy who is now the head coach of the Bears and the anticipation that the football world had for him finally deciding that he was willing to accept the big whistle somewhere?
Yeah, look, I mean, the expectation is he's going to get Caleb right. The expectation is he's going to do some of the same things offensively that he did in Detroit. But you know what? Does he have Jahmyr Gibbs and David Montgomery? Does he have that offensive line? I mean, that's the best offensive line besides Philadelphia in the NFL. Right. You know, he had a head coach then who gave him 4 downs an awful lot to design his offense, which is why on 3rd and 15, they're lining up in 13 personnel. And they're running the ball for 10 because they know on 4th down it'd be 4th and 5 and maybe they got a shot to convert. Is he going to be as aggressive, you know, things like that with his play calling? And, you know, but they had the personnel to do things a certain way.
And I don't know if the Bears are there yet. So, you know, we'll figure it out. Is he great enough to really get things going with the personnel that's there? We'll see. So, but I think the expectation is a little bit unknown, a little bit of we'll see, but also he's the guy who can get Caleb right with certain personnel around him.
Now, as we get to next week, the NFL Combine will be available, and you've gotten to cover that event for a number of years here. And you know, we've seen that continue to evolve with some of the top prospects, whether the quarterbacks throw, whether all the receivers and running backs run and things of that ilk. The Bears could use help on each line of scrimmage, but from your perspective with the Combine, especially with the top prospects now knowing that they can sort of get away with not running, but still perhaps being there for the interviews, but not even every team ends up sending their full contingent of personnel there. How has the Combine evolved, and is the event itself and the weight that we used to put on it, is that diminished in any way in recent years?
Well, you nailed it when you said the event, right? It's becoming an event. Remember, a couple years ago, for the longest, defensive players would be at the back end of the draft. Yeah. Well, now their workouts are at the very front end, so they can get the quarterbacks and some of the flashy skill position players in prime time, right? It has become a TV-watching primetime event. That's, yes, it's about evaluation, but it's also about including fans and everything into it. So it's gotten away a little bit from the football. I mean, there's still a lot of the football and all that stuff there, but it's become more of a spectacle, which the NFL does very well at making everything, right? The NFL's name is in the news 365. It is masterful in how it does that. But yeah, I mean, some guys are going to throw, some guys aren't, right? But CJ Stroud threw. Like, and some teams view it certain ways. Some personnel evaluators are like, why not compete? Others are like, no need to, really. I mean, you know, Travis Hunter, we know you can run. We know what you can do, right? Come do the interviews, let everybody meet you, and we're good with that. So I think it's different for different teams, for different players. But again, the emphasis on necessarily working out is gone the way of, you know, see, you know, draft eligible players not playing in bowl games.
And with the way that the players now have a bit more agency in how this process plays out, it's good to see the NFL continuing to try and value the way that they disperse their personnel, which is why you're in New Orleans this week. And that person in New Orleans I'm referencing is, of course, Steve Weiss. Continue our conversation with Steve. He's of the NFL Network, and he'll be calling the HBCU Legacy Bowl for NFL Network yet again this Saturday. And part of the thing that's really become special about it is that not only is it the game itself on Saturday, but the HBCU Combine that takes place at the start of the week, yourself and Bucky Brooks, they're covering that. I see my guy Mike Yam has been out there with you guys also. But as this event has been around for a few seasons now, how would you describe the importance of HBCU players, black college football players, getting this audition, this opportunity for the entire National Football League, all 32 teams, to send personnel to New Orleans and evaluate them up close and in person?
Yeah, look, it started 4 years ago when Doug Williams and James Shaq Harris, you know, two black quarterback pioneers, you know, were tired of players from HBCUs not getting drafted because the feedback they were getting from coaches, you know, at Grambling and Southern and Howard and Morgan State, whether these scouts were just kind of giving them glossy-eyed attention. And so they created this game to put all of the 100 top draft eligible players from HBCUs in one place. And every now and then, like this year, you know, you'll have a player from an HBCU get invited to the combine. There's a player, an offensive tackle from Alabama A&M, who had a great Senior Bowl. He'll get there, but that's only one, right? So one thing over the past 4 years we've seen is there's probably been about 15 to 20 players who've kind of made it onto some rosters and practice squads from this game. So even if they don't get drafted, there are people. One of the players who came in was Ian Wheeler, a running back out of Howard, who last year didn't get drafted. The Bears picked him up. He was having a great training camp, blew his knee out. Remember, that was one of the good kind of heartwarming stories on Hard Knocks. So they bring these guys coming to the attention of scouts and personnel talent in a different way than they get to be viewed during the season. And it's just another way to create opportunities that necessarily weren't being seized by these clubs, you know, at least in the perception of James Harris and Doug Williams a few years ago. And another way it's changed is initially a lot of these coaches at these black colleges were like, well, what is this? Is this a gimmick? Is it sustainable? And now 4 years later, when they see the benefits of it, they see all the sponsorships, they're fighting like hell to get their players in this game now. So it's really grown. Being out of practice and at the combine, there's probably, in talking to people, three or four, maybe five guys who likely will get drafted, and then several others who will be in some camps with a chance to earn a roster spot.
And the ability to have potentially multiple bites at that apple between the players who were at the combine, players who are playing the game this weekend, to be in person with NFL talent evaluators, you know, right, not only for black college football players, but even for the guys who'll be in Indy for the NFL combine next week, that in-person interaction with the teams, that ends up being vital in perhaps because you establish a relationship, but more importantly, just to impress them in that interview process.
Well, I mean, look, all of us know in any situation, we can talk to somebody via Zoom, and they can be great, right? But they can dress up their studio or their room or whatever on Zoom, and they can be rehearsed, and that's fine. But when you get to sit there and interact with somebody face-to-face, eye-to-eye, you can get a read on them a lot of times. Not always, but a lot of times you can. You can always get the also get the eye test, too. Someone can be listed at 6'3", 210. But if you're 6'3 yourself and you stand up next to them, they see they're shorter than you or they're taller than you, you can say, okay, you know, there's some different specs than what I thought. So getting that, like you said, establishing a relationship, kind of seeing how certain people tick, seeing how rehearsed they are. Because by the time they get to the combine, you know, in Indianapolis, those guys are so well-versed and so well-prepared that these teams know that they've been studying like crazy. But, you know, that's what you're supposed to do for a job interview. So, that face-to-face interaction, whether it's here at the HBCU Combine or Indianapolis, is hugely important for a lot of people. But at the same time, the film and the football player is really what these scouts are trying to you know, decipher and figure out is best for their team.
And the HBCU Legacy Bowl will be this Saturday. It'll air on television on the NFL Network. That'll be at 3 Central, 4 Eastern. It'll be on NFL Radio as well. So if you happen to be out driving around or if you just want to listen on the SiriusXM app, that's where you'll be able to hear me calling the game as well, if you don't happen to be sitting in front of the television. After the Legacy Bowl is over, Steve, of course, then we'll be weeks away, you know, a couple of months away, really, from the NFL draft itself. And the barnstorming of the draft, you know, going around to different NFL cities, I think it's been a remarkable revelation for the NFL in doing that and just getting this event on the road, essentially, out of New York every year. This season will be a bit different, though, in Green Bay, in the smallest NFL city. How do you anticipate that playing out, just with having it in the smallest NFL locale that there is? And it'll be pretty close for Chicago fans if they're going to go try to check it out.
I think it's going to be awesome because, look, if any those of us who have had the good fortune of going to Lambeau understand that is a true bucket list stop. Like you said, right, it is a small city. You have all of these quaint neighborhoods, and this beautiful, like, stadium right in the middle of them. The fans there could not be more grateful, but they also could not be more wise to everything. It is such a unique experience to go there, even if you're, you know, a Packers hater, as a Bears fan, to experience it. I think it's going to be great. It's gone over so well in every city. I know in Detroit it was great, Philadelphia was great, Chicago was great. So I think this is fantastic because they basically take it to cities that aren't in the Super Bowl rotation. So to give fans in those areas the opportunity to showcase their markets and to really enjoy something special, I think it's a great idea by the NFL. I will not be in Green Bay, unfortunately. But those who are going are going to have a fantastic time.
Yeah, they no doubt will, man. Folks are passionate about football in that town. There's no doubt. And you are passionate about football as well. That's why you're one of the hardest working individuals in the industry. Looking forward to seeing you on Saturday, Steve.
All right, take care, and thanks for having me.
That is Steve Weiss of the NFL Network. You can find him on social media at Weiss89. He covers the league as well as anyone in the industry. Well, I mentioned the question, the familiar refrain that there is about the Bears, the running back position, and of course my Hawkeyes, and how one of the most talented players in this draft cycle will end up being perceived in the NFL draft once we get there. There's a lot of opportunity that Caleb Johnson will have between now and then to prove his wares and continue to boost his draft stock. But I'm fairly confident there was an imposter on the line last night that just wanted to continue asking me the same question he's been asking me over and over and over again. I'll tell you what I'm talking about next on The Score.
Third and one, Caleb Johnson. First down. Touchdown. Big play, KJ.
He has a playmaker. He's one of the leading rushers in college football last season. And now, on his way to the National Football League, his fellow Hawkeye, Caleb Johnson. I'm Anthony Heron on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And I don't know if it's been perhaps an unconscious effort to not be, you know, colored by my Hawkeye bias in some way, but I can't tell you how many folks have asked me about the draft stock of Caleb Johnson and the potential, since the Bears have multiple picks in the second round, one at 39, one at 41, whether or not the Bears would end up using one of these draft picks to draft Iowa running back Caleb Johnson. And we had a caller last night who brought this up as a possibility, and it just occurred to me that since my producer tonight was not on duty last night, that perhaps Alex Kuhn himself was calling up in disguise. Listen back to this, and you let me know what you think. Carly here wanted to talk about the running back position for the Chicago Bears. That is Joe in Granger. Joe, what's happening? You're on The Score.
What's up? I just wanted to talk about, I agree with you 1,000,000% that the running back position.
About the Susie
running
Q.
Back position.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, absolutely. Well, the Susie Q, you're a fan of the Susie Q. I'm not. I'm not a Hostess guy.
Really?
But Susie Q's, no.
What's your go-to?
Susie Q is coming back, though.
I didn't know
he's
that.
Back to Chicago.
Educate
Caleb
me.
Caleb Johnson.
Ah,
Caleb
I
Johnson.
Like it.
Yes, second-round pick. It's going to be their second-round pick, and he's coming to Chicago, and he is going to be a future Hall of Famer.
So, okay, the caller is Joe in Granger, and I appreciate that. Thanks for the call, Joe. I'm pretty sure that was not actually Joe in Granger. I think that was actually Alex Kuhn, because Alex continues to tell me that Caleb Johnson is going to be a second-round pick, and the Bears should take him in round number two. So, there's some similarities in that voice. Now, I'm not completely convinced that that was you, Alex, but I'm definitely not convinced that it wasn't you. Was that you last night? Are you the aforementioned Joe in Granger?
Got you guys bad, didn't I? By the way, Susie Q is delicious. I was playing the bit there.
Okay, good, good.
That was
I'm
me.
I'm glad you're playing along, because that explains exactly why we would have a caller who would have the exact same opinion of the future Hall of Fame status.
Had to push the agenda, right? Like, it's second round pick, no, not third. The second round pick. The Bears are going to overdraft a running back, similarly to how the Lions did with Jahmyr Gibbs. And Caleb Johnson right there at the top of the second round just makes so much sense.
All right, so go ahead. As far as how he potentially fits into the Bears, into this Ben Johnson offense, why do you think it would make sense for the Bears to draft Caleb Johnson in round number two?
The Bears need somebody to run between the tackles. And that is a guy who, and you saw it the last couple of years, but even before Tim Lester came in and revitalized the run game a little bit, you know that the Iowa offense had been so predictable. The weight of that entire offense was on his shoulders for so long. And his toughness to battle through it, his big play ability. He's not the fastest guy in the world, but you heard Chad Ryder say the burst in the open field. He's big, he's durable, and he's exactly what the Bears need in the running game, assuming they do what we all think they're going to do and revamp the offensive line.
And that definitely should be a focal point for the Bears up front on the O-line, and it does go a bit underappreciated, the fact that they could use another playmaking back. So I'm not against the idea of the Bears drafting Caleb Johnson. I don't know that his value in the second round is there quite yet. Now, maybe he goes out there in Indy and catches the ball smoothly and looks like a guy who would not only be a force between the tackles, but could be a competent, perhaps even an excellent pass receiver out of the backfield. I think that potential is there. He just wasn't utilized in that way a lot during his Iowa career either. But, you know, I think back to, you know, there's a variety of NFL backs that didn't necessarily have, like Le'Veon Bell wasn't a big pass receiver in his Michigan State career. Then he got to the NFL and became one of the great all-purpose backs that we had seen of recent vintage. So could that potential be there? I mean, similar stature to Le'Veon Bell, similar college style of running to Le'Veon Bell, if you will. So who knows? Maybe that's within Caleb Johnson. So we'll see. I'm not ruling it out yet. But I'm not sold either on the idea of the Bears drafting Caleb Johnson.
I'm just glad the agenda is spreading.
You know, you're doing an effective job of trying to get the world on board with the Bears drafting Caleb Johnson in round two. The Alex Kuhn gospel is there, and folks are picking it up. They're liking what they're hearing from AK. We'll continue some football discussion here in the third hour, but we'll transition to the college space because there are some storylines that are brewing, and world domination is upon us from the Big Ten and the Southeastern Conference. And so to help me break it all down will be one of my favorites to discuss such things with. We have Pete Futek of College Football News to let you know what's happening in the college space. We'll do that next on Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework. Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Signature Farms chicken, split breasts, drumsticks, or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. Or a wheat variety bread, 24-ounce selected varieties, buy one, get one for free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And Progresso soup, 18 to 19-ounce selected varieties, buy two, get three free of equal or lesser value when you buy five. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.